Hey, Amar Aleph. We are when he killed Arpa, and now he is. We're up to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 lines from the bottom. On Tadi Hamad Al. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me the choice. And this is what I answered him. I chose to pick the, I chose to rather be given over to enemies than my children should be destroyed. So he said to him, Amal Abak Tzvusek, turn around your tefillah. Turn it around. Barbarach Hiralis Mavatlit Star. It's better that your grandchild should sell wax. And you should not be mitzvah. We're up to Rashi. Amar Lay to the second column on the left. Amar Lay Avisha LeDavid. My boy Tzachal. My boss come. What'd you do here? Amar Lay Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Amar Lay Hakadosh Baruch Hu gave me the choice. Would you rather your children be destroyed, or Tim should be arevech or be given over to your enemies? This is what I answered him. Mutum she'apul biaroyev. It is better I should go to the enemies. Amar Lay Apik Tzusech. Hafayich Tzulascha. Turn around your tefillah. V'amar Lufanav and say in front of him. That you'd rather your children be destroyed, your descendants be destroyed. Why would you be worried about the tzar of your descendants? It's a saying people say. Let your great-grandchild sell wax, but why should you suffer? Meaning, worry about. Let them worry about it when it comes. Why should you take it now? Help me with tefillah to turn it around. I can't do this myself. Daven with me, Sarkarish Merkel, to turn it around. Hand of the Siv, Bayazali, Avisha Ben Truya helped him. Amr Yudha Marav, Sha'azar B'tefillah. He helped him in davening, so this David HaMelech's choice should now be changed, that he should rather live, and that his great grandchildren, or whatever it is, the descendants, will be destroyed. Amr Avisha Shem. So we're going back to the story, right? Yishbi had thrown David HaMelech up, put a sword under him. So Avishai said the name of Hashem, Va'akseh, and he brought him down.
Is this clause because David HaMelech is David HaMelech, or this is something that we should, it's like a general clause that we worry, don't worry about you, worry about yourself. How are you supposed to, if you had the opportunity,
last time I checked, the Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't give people choices. So, he does. It's called Bechira, but it's not choices of which one to choose, like David HaMelech had. Yes?
I think what Avram was asking was answered by the standard warning when you're on the plane. If the breathing mask comes down, first you put one on yourself, and then you help the person.
No, but that's a different reason. Good. I don't know the answer to your question. Nothing in my advice. Have a karat of Basrayu. So Yishbi is chasing them. They're running away, and he is chasing them. Kimata Kubi, when they came to the village of Kubi, which is, Rashi says, in between Eretz Yisrael and Plishtim, Amri, they said, Kumbe, let us stand up against them. But they didn't do it. Kimati, when they came, Beitrei, they came to a village called Beitrei. Amri, they said, Beitrei Guryan Kutlu La'aye. Two young lions. Can't they kill a lion? Meaning, why can't we turn around and kill him? Why are we running away from him? We're two against one. Amri, they said, they told them, Zilish Takach L'Arpa Imech B'Kibra. Go look for your Arpa, your mother. She's dead. When they mentioned the name of his mother, that she's dead, he got weak all of a sudden. The cutler, they were able to kill him. That's when David's people swore lying to him, lame, or saying, you will not go out to war anymore, but you won't extinguish the candle of Yisrael. I guess people decided that one incident with David HaMelech was enough, and even though he had changed around what he wanted, they decided not to let him go out into war anymore, and they retired him, basically, from being a warrior. Rashi. Such Rashi, Rabbi Karadim, Israel, Vahim Barakim, Shai Karav, Lair, Plishtim, because they were close to Plishtim. Himati Kubi, the Isaac Kvar, Shishmai Kubi, this is the name of the village called Kubi, Shemay Nar, Shishra, Lair, Plishtim. Amri Kumbe, Amru Zed, Lazar, Might Connected, let's stand against him, Val Tivrach, Vernakenel, let's kill him. Kakdiv Rikubi, that's why it's called Kubi, which means stand up. Inu Adi Bekir, Beshemus, Akvarim, they knew the names of the villages. Adayanai Mefakdim, even though they said, let's stand and fight, they were still afraid of Barakim and they ran away. Himatu Beitrei, which is Shem Malkum, a name of a place. Amru Beitrei Gurion, meaning between two young lions, we can't kill a lion. Bitmiya, the Kibra Shar Genua, we killed. Talk to Gemara by the Tana Rabbanan. Yes.
It's a little funny that he had this conversation, like he's suspended in the air. It's a little funny, like. And then,
well, if you can explain to me the rest of the story, I'll explain to you that part. Like, I don't understand why this bothers you more than the rest of the story.
Is Avishai controlling the mechanism? Like,
you know? Well, I guess Avishai, he said a shame and he kept him up there. You know what I mean? He ain't going nowhere. Moving
and
sideways.
He comes down, you come down right down where you can kill
him. This is a Shylock. Why didn't you talk about it? Was this conversation held while he was in midair? Or was this conversation held after he landed? He discussed with him, you know, that's what we've got to do. It's not clear. So I'm not going to want to say that we interrupt the story to tell you the conversation they ultimately had. And really, the conversation took place after he landed. Or there are those that say that he asked them, what are you doing up there? Like, you know, what happened?
According to that, when Avishai said to them again, he should have come down. Why did he come?
He moved him.
Had to land so far away. I mean,
he had to land away because he didn't want to land on the sword. The sword was right under him, right? So the nays had to be to move him away. Something about the Tana Rabbana Shlaisha comes from the Mar. It's three people in the Torah had Tzvita Saderach, which Rashi learns Tzvita Saderach means that the world folds under the person, not that the person travels at greater speed. Machlokes Rishonim, how to translate Tzvita Saderach. Eliezer Eved Avram. Eliezer, the servant of Avram, on the day when he went to look for Rivka, he says, and Rashi says it in Chumash, I left today, I arrived today, traveled from Eretz Yisrael to Iraq in one day. Yaakov Avinu, when he came back from Charan, when he went to Charan, when he came back from Charan, now over here it's questionable, the Rambam brings a Raya from this Gemara, not like Rashi and Chumash, that the mountain uprooted and walked over to Yaakov, but rather that Yaakov Avinu did Tzvitas Haderach to the mountain. Rashi and Chumash explained that Yaakov Avinu's Tzvitas Haderach was twofold. He went to Charan and one day, when he came back, it says that Rashi learns that he didn't fly. What happened was the ground actually moved over. But that's with Rashi's thing that Tzvitas Haderach is that the ground folds. So I guess that goes into Tzvitas Haderach. And Vavisha ben Tzruya, right over here. Avisha ben Tzruya had Amaram.
We'll see, but the case of Stamkerim, that he was able to do it.
That's not Tzvitas Haderach. That was done naturally.
The Rebbe just said that there's a Machlokas, Rashi.
Rashi and the other Rishayim, how Tzvitas Haderach works, correct.
So if you learn it means not like Rashi, what's the other way?
That you move very quickly.
Okay, that's Stamkerim, right?
No, he moved 10 Masois. He pushed his soldiers to move. But it was explainable, b'derech hateva. It wasn't innate that he was able to travel 10 masos. It was natural, except it was a lot of pressure on his troops to travel that great distance.
Okay, so was it okay?
Was not innate. Eliezer, I arrived today to the well. Remember that Hu Yayim Anafak was Hayayim to tell me that that day he had left and that day he had arrived. Yaakov Avinu, the Siv, Ayeta Yaakov, Iber Shava, Vayela Charonah. Says he went to Charan, which indicates that he arrived in Charan. Then it says, he ends up in Haramaria. Now, Haramaria is in Eretz Yisrael, and Charan is in Iraq. So how do you reconcile that the next pasuk says, right? It says he came to the place, he arrived at the place, and he slept there for the sun had set. So what happened? What happened was he arrived in Charan. Amr, he said, is it possible that I went past the place that my parents had davened from, which is Hara Maria, where both Avram and Yitzchak had davened, and I didn't daven there? So he decided he was going to go back. Kivin the hero b'dai to Lamehader, when he decided to go back, Kavtsa Layara. Now Rashi says here, and he arrived at Har Maria immediately, which is like the other Rishayim seem to say, that Har Maria didn't move. Yaakov, using Kvitas HaDerech, arrives at Har Maria. Rashi and Chumash says, Har Maria flew out to greet him in the city of Luz. That means he made it back to Luz, and Har Maria moved there. But Rashi here says that he used the normal Kvitas HaDerech to arrive at Har Maria, which Rashi's opinion is that the ground folds, and he ends up being in Yerushalayim. Yes?
The problem seems to be that first it says that Yaakov went from Beersheba to Haran, and then he went to somewhere else. But it doesn't say, according to the pasuk itself, that he went to Hayom, like the previous pasuk.
The Haran part wasn't Kvitas HaDerech. It says he went to Haran, and there Vayivga Bamokim, which makes it sound that right when he gets to Haran, he meets Hara Maria.
So we're only talking about the second one.
The second one. Yeah, the first one, you're right, there's no proof that he had Kvitas HaDerech. My mistake.
What is Rashi saying when he has two different answers?
You're asking me when there's a contradiction what to do? I don't know. That's what I ask. I don't know. It better be.
Some kind of skill a person.
No, it's not a skill. Not a skill. The Yad Vayivga Bamokim. Okay, we'll see that in a second. Tuk Rashi, Vayeti Yaakov Be'er Sheva Ve'el L'Charon, Alma Bo L'Charon, Uchsiv Ayiv Ge B'Mokum, Shadayin L'Giyo L'Charon. Indicates he wasn't there, Shadayin B'Beisel. She's followed by Avaisai, Avram V'Yitzchak. Avram V'Yitzchak Davin there, and the rest of the Rashi that's in parentheses, the Marshal takes out. Here Rebbe Dayi Til Amahed El Amokum, he decides to go back to Har Maria. Kav Tzul Yara V'Hoy Shamiyad, he was right there. Kav Mechiyak, Uchsiv Ayiv Ge B'Mokum, Shamokum Pogoy. Here Rashi says what he says in Chumash. The place came close to him. This is Rashi's opinion. The ground folds and comes there. Could be Rashi is consistent with Chumash, that when it says Har Maria moved, it's under the normal mechanism of Kvitas HaDerech, which Rashi learns, is that the ground folds. Now, don't ask me to explain when the ground folds, what happens to everybody that's on that ground that's folded. It's a miracle. So a miracle doesn't have to make any sense.
Why can't it just be the part that he's walking on?
No, because Har Maria is moving closer. I mean, the ground's folding.
I understand that.
Yeah, but there are people in between him and Har Maria. Not like the world, the land is not occupied.
All right, could be
the,
you know, certain
wisdom.
Could be.
Could be. Another shot in Vayivka B'Mokim is not that he arrived at the place, but he davened at the place. You should not daven for this nation. Do not raise song and prayer. It's a lotion of prayer. Rashi says this Gemara doesn't belong here, because this is a Gemara that describes what happened with Yaakovina. We weren't interested in that. All we were interested in proving is that Kvitas HaDerech. We're not interested now in his tefillah and things like that. That's in a different Gemara on Chulam. So Rashi says that my Rebbe took out this piece of Gemara. Vayolun Sham Kivah HaShemesh. He lay down there for the sun had set. So what bothers the way Rashi learns over here, it should have said, Vayolun Sham, Vayovay HaShemesh, Vayolun Sham. The sun set, and he went to sleep. Why does it say he went to sleep before the sun had set? Just say, the sun set, and he went to sleep. So, or other Rishayim learned, why mention that the sun set? What difference does it make to us that the sun set? Hayalan Shem. He went to sleep. I have to know why he went to sleep? That's how some Rishayim learned. Rashi learns, that doesn't bother us. But say it chronologically. The sun sets, so he goes to sleep. Why does the Bible say, he went to sleep before the sun had set? Rashi busted the tzali after he davened, boil him a header. He wanted to go back to Chorat. Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu, tzadik zeb on lebeis maloini, yivkir maloilina. This tzadik has arrived at my inn, and he's going to go to sleep, he's going to leave without sleeping. V'yad bo hashemesh, so the sun set in midday. V'haynu d'chsiv, v'yizrach loy hashemesh. Later on, when he comes back, it says the sun rose for him. When Esav, he had the fight with the Malach Shal Esav, dislocated his thigh. So it says, "Vayizrach loy hashemesh." V'ki loy bo vadzarcha. What, did it rise only for him? V'lil chol oylem kulizarcha. The sun rises for everybody. What happened was the sun that had set because of him now rose because of him and made up the hours that it had lost when he had gone to Charan. The world now recouped those hours of sunlight with the sun rising much earlier, the same amount of hours that it had set earlier.
The sun setting isn't a symbol that you don't go to sleep when the sun sets, right?
What else do you do?
I thought you go to sleep when it's dark.
Well, the sun sets, it's dark.
The sun sets means it's 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Whatever, I mean, it should be Tzeis HaKavim or, you know.
See, you live in a society where natural light and darkness makes very little impact in your life, thanks to Thomas Edison. But, and the Rabbeinu Shleilem. But in those days, when it turned dark, you were outdoors somewhere, you usually went to sleep, and as soon as it turned light, you got up. Because in dark, you really were at a loss. There wasn't much to do. Yes.
Sorry, so why here is it significant that
Yaakov
spent the night?
Why did Hashem want him to spend the night? I mean, in Pshat, it doesn't say anything. The Svarim are very big on this. Yaakov Avinu is the Av that symbolizes, he's Mesakim Mairiv. Mairiv is the Tefillah of the night. It is the Klal Yisrael dealing in its long exile till it makes it to Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, at night, Yaakov Avinu symbolizes going through a night to get to a morning. Whereas Avraham Avinu is the morning, and Yitzchak symbolizes the afternoon, Yaakov Avinu symbolizes a long night before a new morning. And part of that is the Vayalon Shem. And that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealing to himself at night, where usually there are no revelations, where things are quiet and dark and removed, and Hashem says, no, I'm here with you also, and I will watch you, and I'll bring you back. There's a future. This is the Yaakov Avinu. He's the Mairav, the Tzila, the Tzav. Again, this is not in the Gemara. This is what the explanation given by Sfarim. I can't put a name to it, but that's the explanation given. Rashi, Beisel Zeh Yushalayim Choron Chutz Laretz. Kibah Hashemesh, Rav Hashemesh Lein Ever. It doesn't say the sunset. Kibah Hashemesh, the Masmesh, he died to Lamzer. He was planning to go back. Right, Ayem Gatul was still a lot of time in the day. He even Shurah Kibah Hashemesh Lein, but when the sun set, he went to sleep. Now Yisrach Lein Hashemesh, Mashmah Hashemesh, Hari Lekvar, Shabbat Bishvi Lekvar. That sun that had set for him now rose early because of him. That's the Gemara Vayitem. Umenalum the color Zare the David. And where do we find the David's descendants were destroyed? Dechsev. Vatalya Emachaz Yohu, Rasa Kimeiz Bena, Vatokoim Vatoivat as called Zerah HaMamlocha. What happened was, one of the kings of Yehuda, I believe Yehoshaphat, his son married Achav's daughter. Omri's daughter. I'm not sure if it's Achav's sister or Achav's daughter. I think it might have been Achav's daughter. And her name was Ataliah. And he was king over Yehuda. He was from Malchus Beis David, but he was a son-in-law, I believe, of Achav. It might have been of Omri, Achav's father, but I think he was a son-in-law of Achav. And he had a son, Achaz Yehu, who became king after he died. The mother was still alive. Ataliah was still alive. In a revolution that happened in the 10 Shvatim, I'm not going to get into details, Yehu killed out Achav's family, including King Ahaziah, who was there from David's family, but he was a son-in-law of Achav. He was killed out as well in that revolution. His mother saw that her son had been killed. She decided that she was going to become the ruler. Now, in order to become ruler, she had to get rid of all David's descendants who would stand in her way. So she made a massacre, and she killed out all of David's descendants, and she missed one baby. She missed one baby. But besides that baby, she killed out all of David's descendants. Now, there are different versions over here. I'll get to them in a moment. This is when David's descendants were wiped off. The one baby that remained saved Malchus Beis David, but that's called destroyed. They bring a raya from a pasuk to Marsha. Says that Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I will destroy Klal Yisrael, and I will make you into a big nation. So then he won't destroy Klal Yisrael. There'll be one left. The answer is, one left is called destruction. And therefore, this is called destroying David's family, even though one is left. Now, here is a question, because the Yerushalmi tells us that Rebbe was a descendant of one of the other children of David HaMelech. Rabbeinu HaKadosh came from David HaMelech, but not through the royal family throughout, but one of other of David HaMelech's children. In fact, one of the girls. Now, the question is, if he destroyed everybody besides that one baby, there cannot be any other descendants from any other of David's children. So we hear there's two answers given. One answer is that when it says they destroyed the royals, it's only the direct descendants through Shlomo HaMelech. They did not destroy any of other of David's family. When we say David's family was destroyed, we mean the line of David's family that came from Shlomo HaMelech was destroyed. But the other children of David HaMelech's family, she left intact. She did not view them as a threat. That's one shot. So therefore, Rabbeinu HaKadosh can come from a different one of David's family of children, because that was not destroyed. Other answer given is, she only killed out the male members of the family, not the female members of the family, and David HaMelech came through one of the female members of the family. And therefore, he could provide his yichus to David HaMelech, but through a female who lived at this time, not through a male. That is the two terutzim given of how Rabbeinu HaKadosh can come from a different child of David HaMelech. Now, she kills out everybody, she misses that baby. That baby is hidden for 6 years in the attic of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Nobody ever believed that anybody could live up there, because it was usher to walk in. His nursemaid and the baby hide in the attic of the Kodesh HaKadoshim for 6 years. Food is provided by the Kohen Gadol, named Yehoyada HaKohen HaGadol. He knows about this. He provides food and sustenance for this baby in the attic of the Kodesh HaKadoshim for 6 years. It's an infant, small baby, survives for 6 years. When the baby turns 7, I believe, Yehoyada launches a revolution against Atalia, brings out this now child of 6 or 7, crowns him to be king. He becomes Melech Yehoyash, who then proceeds to kill Atalia. They kill out Atalia, they launch the revolution, and the kingdom is returned to David HaMelech's family. So there was a 6 year period where Atalia ruled and had wiped out David HaMelech's family, again within the parameters that we mentioned a moment ago, whether it means a whole family except the girls, or does it mean only Shlomo HaMelech's family, whatever it was, only one baby survived. And this was the punishment of David HaMelech of Naive. So Achronim asked, how do you punish 4, 5, 6 generations later? I mean, for something that their great-great-great-grandfather had done. So the answer is, the Sanhedrin Tana says, these were people that were fit to be punished anyway. They had done Averis that deserved Misa. So had they had the Schus of David HaMelech, it would have prevented them from dying. Comes along, Schus of David HaMelech is removed, because David HaMelech himself needs this correction. So now their Averis, which caused them to need Misa, makes them die. In fact, the Rabbeinu Shlomo, of course, engineers it that way, that when that generation arrives is when he collects his debt of David HaMelech. Meaning, these people, on their own, with their own free choice, end up doing Averis that are chayav Misa, and the Rabbeinu Shlomo comes along and says, I got a debt from David HaMelech anyway, so this is the time that we will collect it. Now, it ends up backfiring in the sense that Yayash, after Yehoyada HaKohen dies, proclaims himself a deity, because he had survived in the Kodesh HaKadoshim for 6 years and no one else can live, and he had survived there for 6 whole years. So he proclaimed himself somewhat of a deity, and therefore Zechariah gave, that's when Zechariah HaKohen Gadol gave the Musar on Yom Kippur on Shabbos, which is coming up, it's Yom Kippur Shabbos, and they killed him in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Azara, on Yom Kippur Shabbos, and his blood stayed on the ground and bubbled on the ground from then till Korban Beis HaMikdash, which we will learn about in a blot from now. So this story happens right after this story. So again, the baby survives, Malchus Beis David is restored, and the consequence, of unfortunately, is that Yayash makes himself, or is made into somewhat of a deity, does not reject it, which leads to the death of Zechariah, which is an Aveira that Klai Yisrael has a hard time atoning for, that he was killed in the Migdash on Yom Kippur, Shechal B'Shabbos. That's when they killed him, because he gave them Musar for serving Yayash. That's, he was the son of the Kohen Gadol who had saved Yayash, and he was killed in the Beis HaMikdash on Yom Kippur.
But the devil was told, take your change your tefillah, right?
Yes.
He was just saying, he knew the consequences. I didn't know what happened. I was thought was that your children will both go be suffering. You know what I mean? It's not like we're wiping out your nation. What do they tell them? Your kids will sell wax, right? What does it mean? They're going to have to be in poverty or something.
That was a saying.
I understand what that means.
That saying is, don't worry about your grandchildren. Hashem had said, your children will be destroyed. Are you going to ask me the question that's been asked for the last 2 days? Wouldn't the person say, I'd rather die than have my great-grandchildren be killed out? That was the question asked a day ago, and the answer, obviously, is not necessarily.
He did say that at first,
but he changed his mind.
He was told to say that your children will,
yes,
will die out?
Yes.
Everyone will die out?
He was told your children will be destroyed.
So what was it?
Say,
what do you need it for? The mushel. What's the mushel for?
The mushel is to say, you made the wrong choice. People say, let your grandchildren sell wax. You just live comfortably. Listen, people say, increase the federal deficit and let your great-grandchildren pay for it. It's okay. Don't worry about it. It's fine. They do this all the time.
He just specifically that your country's going to be destroyed.
I know what he wants to say, but that's how it happened.
That's what I thought for sure.
Well, you thought wrong, and no offense.
Maybe just do a comparison with Rothenbaum and Abishai.
That's it. I meant to say is that that's the way people live. Don't worry about future generations. Take care of yourself. Why is there an attic in the Kodesh Kedoshim?
I thought the Kodesh Kedoshim was just one.
In the Mishkan, not in the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash was an attic. And they went in there once every, the Gemara says, every 10 years, 50 years. They went in very sparingly there. And they only went there to check out in case something's broken or things have to be fixed.
Where they were lowered from the...
Through that attic. That attic has Kedushas Kodesh Kedushim. You didn't go in there.
Is there anything in the attic other than...
No, it doesn't say there was. Okay, let's just finish a few more lines because I want to finish this little story. Affecting Gemara by Shtayr Liyayash. There wasn't a baby left, so he wasn't wiped out. But the Gemara said, Nami Shtayr Abiyasar. When Noivir Akahanim was wiped out, one survived also. The Sivayimolid Ben Echel Achimelech Ben Achitav, Ushmai Abiyasar. So therefore, the punishment was exact. One survives, like in Noivir Akahanim, one survived. Amr Yudah Marad, Ilamolid Nishtayr Abiyasar Achimelech Ben Achitav, had Abiyasar not been left, then David HaMelech's family would have been wiped out. Again, which part of the family? Only the males, or only Shlaima's part, but some part of David HaMelech's family would have been totally wiped out. This way it was saved through the baby Yayash, Rashi. Look to Rashi, Manoli the color Zari the David could abach to say, Hasanami Yishtar Rabbi Yasser Mikahani Naiv, he was left, and since he was left, the punishment could manifest itself with having one left. And the Mashal says, even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu used the word destroy, leaving one over is called destruction. And he brings the riot I mentioned a moment ago. Shem said, I will destroy Klal Yisrael and make you into a great nation. Meaning, there'll be one left. That's called destroying. That's what we're proving from that thing. I'm reviewing him a rap. Bo Aleim Sancherev HaRasha Barboim V'Chamisha Elef Ish B'nei Malachim. Sancherev HaRasha attacks Klal Yisrael, 45,000 princes. Now, what happened was in those days is when you conquered a country or when a country became subordinate, their royal family became privileged characters in the victor's army. They still retained their royalty, but now they submitted to a greater king. So all these 45,000 princesses from around the world came and helped the Sancherev in his attack on Yerushalayim. Yoshvim b'kreinei shozav, sitting in golden wagons. V'imohem shigloinais v'zainas. And they brought along with them, Zainas are harlots, Zainas, and what's shigloinais, I'm not 100% sure. What is it? What? Princesses? Oh, shigol can be, oh yeah. Princesses and Zainas. Now, this, the Ben Yehuda says the significance of this is, it was a walk in the park. To them, Yerushalayim was a walk in the park. You don't take along your princesses and zaynas if you're going to war to fight. But if you're going what you think will be a walk in the park, you schlep along, you say, this is going to be a great time. It's going to be a picnic over there. We're going for a picnic. So this taking along Shiglainus Vizainus was Nebuchadnezzar's mindset. It's going to be a picnic. We're going to have a great time there. Sancherib's mindset. And all his princes come, and they bring along their princes and their Zainus for the party. The party of conquest in Yerushalayim will continue in Rosh Hashanah tomorrow.